I'm going to echo what you've already thought when you heard those readings done so beautifully well. Thank you, my sisters. It said to me this morning, them some long readings. And they are indeed, but I have my reasons. Several days ago, I sat down to read the lectionary, the four different texts chosen by the Christian church for this Sunday. I sat down with eagerness because I knew that in the fullness of God's time, the scripture would lead us and would find us together here and now. I was hoping, and oh, that was a sweet little hope, that one of the texts would speak to me for us. But what I found was two texts, both talking and linked. It took another day for me to figure out why I couldn't get these two scriptures, 2 Kings 5 and Luke 10, to give each other up. We were stuck with them. But not just long scriptures, both stories have some similarities, or as we like to say, some similarities. They both have hubbub. They both have activity. We've got folks seriously moving around in both of these texts. The two of them, I thought together, made the title, which is Wanderers. In both of these texts, we have people who are wanderers. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this day and the power of your presence in our midst. We thank you for this opportunity to enter into your word in such a thorough way this morning. And we ask that you would speak to us and bless us in the midst of this. Your people are listening. Remove self from self, I pray. And speak to us all. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. In case you didn't get a chance to count, there are 14 verses from 2 Kings. But it's a great story. And in 12 of those 14 verses, movement of people is mentioned. Raiding parties from Aram go out, led by their commander, Nahum, who suffers from leprosy. They take Six. Who is six? Well, there's a young girl in the story. She doesn't have any name. I thought she needed to have a name, so I gave her one. It stands for Captive Israelite Girl Servant. They take six, they move and remove her. Six goes to her mistress, who is Naaman's wife, and tells her of the prophet in Israel. Naaman's wife goes to Naaman. Naaman goes to the king of Aram, requesting permission to go and see Elisha, who is the prophet. Naaman indeed goes to the king of Israel, who goes into a tizzy. He doesn't move much, but he kind of vibrates in place. The prophet Elisha hears of this, and since there's no cell phone, we got to assume somebody ran and told the prophet. Somebody ran back and told Nahum, come see the prophet. So off to the prophet he went. Naaman goes to Elisha's house. Elisha sends out someone with instructions, and Naaman stomps away, because that was not the reception he thought he deserved. But his servants go to him and make him think again. So Naaman goes to the Jordan. You see the action, please. In, then out. In, then out. Seven times. And the leprosy flees from him. And he is cured. And then in a Richard Simmons-worthy physical activity turnaround, don't sit down, walking with Luke, we witnessed 72 people in motion, heading out from one central point, 36 pairs of people, each with specific instruction, each with specific purposefulness and urgency on the part of their mission. Here are the instructions. Don't pack too heavy. Don't make small talk. Don't seek a house with a better selection of cable channels. Don't overstay your welcome. Don't ask how long it's been since your host last made groceries. Don't force yourself on the uninterested. Don't fail to offer peace. And don't make any long goodbyes. Given all of this, we would be wise to ask, and we are wise, and so we do ask, what's up with all this activity, and what does it have to do with us? We have the 2 Kings 5 story with all this go around, come around. We have the Luke 10 with folks going all over. What we have is wanderers. What are they looking for? What are all these people doing out there running around? What is this about? And it puts me in mind of an old hymn of the church and what that old hymn has to say about us, which is very true. It's Come Thy Fount. I don't know if y'all sing that here, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, amen? The first verse, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Very innocent, very nice, very sweet, isn't it? Very lovely, very normal. But then once you get into the hymn a little bit, it gets unusual. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. In not too many places and at not too many times, we church folks speak honestly of our tendency to wander. It's not big things necessarily that do damage to our faith life, damage to our relationship, damage to the fire that burns in us. It's distraction that does this. Does God leave us? No. We wander off. Does grace become less precious to us? No. The insurance bill comes, or the job runs off its tracks, or things become too hard, or too sad, or too busy, and we wander away. Good news is almost as likely to turn us into wanderers as challenging news is. While the delight of getting something we long wanted and long awaited does find us praising God initially, the sense of I can get what I want, I can do this by myself, can in time send us drifting away as if God is an ATM whose cash supply has been exhausted. Back to the hymn for a moment. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. 2 Kings gives us a 2,900-year-old story, but it reads like the metro section of the Times-Picayune. Naaman is like all of us who have something in our lives that's working and something in our lives that's not. It seems like whining, doesn't it, to keep coming back to that same problem, but Naaman's problem is real. Like your problem is real if you have a problem this morning, or if you have someone in your life that you care about who has a problem. The problem is real and more significant because it matters especially to God. Naaman's problem is one that has immediate, constant, and profound impact on his ability to be in relationship with other people. We are made for God, true. To a degree, we're made for ourselves, for what we can learn and what we can be, but we are also made, and very much so, for each other. And Naaman's problem is a stumbling block. It's an impediment to social interaction. He can be the king's go-to guy 6 days a week and twice on Sunday, but he can't reach his wife, and he can't touch his children, and he can't enjoy friends. And powerful as he is, he hates meeting a stranger. Naaman is left to wander around the edges of where things are going on. He's a wanderer. He's left to half-human his way through his own life. These moments when you ponder whether there's more that's meant for you, he has this all the time. We should notice, however, for just a moment, what Naaman has not noticed. He has not noticed the power that's working for him while invisible to him. All those military victories? Yeah, Naaman is good, but it's God who is great. And so it is quite often when we face our struggles. God's hand of support can be so silent, so tender, such a shadowing that we think it's us. Or worse, we call it luck. Then out from the context of Naaman's everyday doings, God moves. Now, Naaman's the kind of person that in a few days' time will probably make, what, 10,000 different decisions? Well, out of that 10,000 decisions, decision maybe 1,231, makes six a captive and not a casualty of war. Then decision 5,318 of 10,000 puts six in Naaman's house and not on the other side of Syria. Sig speaks to Naaman's wife about Elijah. Naaman's wife speaks to Naaman about what Sig says. And in decision maybe 9,012 of 10,000 decisions, Naaman listens to his wife. Decision 10,000, Naaman goes to his king seeking permission to go see the prophet Elijah. Look at the distance and the trouble that Naaman is prepared to cover to address the challenge that is holding him back. Inspiring, isn't it? Audience with the Aramean king. assembling the 10 talents of silver, the 6,000 shekels of gold, and a passel of suits and gowns from Saks Fifth Avenue. Then a long, dusty journey to Israel's capital, Samaria, audience with Jehoram, king of Israel, further dusty journey to Casa Elisha. But when Elisha doesn't come out, when the prophet sends word to Naaman instead, look what Naaman does. Because his personal pride is wounded, he's a successful military commander, he's not used to being treated this way, because his pride of place is wounded, he doesn't appreciate the fact that he finds himself in the country he conquered, asking for help. Because of this, he's ready to give up on what he came for, nullify that whole long journey. He's prepared to return to wandering. It's easier to be a wanderer, he believes, than to be made whole. Look at verse 12. So he turns and goes off in a rage. I have a little inspiration piece in my office, a little photograph of words. And it says the last thing standing between you and what God has for you is your inclination to give up. Oh, the things we turn down, the things we wander away from because it isn't looking or feeling the way we think it should, or because it's taking too long in our estimation, or because we think it's an imperfect solution, only a partial answer, or because we don't want to be caught looking hopeful and believing when people around us are smart enough to know better, or because we figure 7 dips in the River Jordan is at least 6 too many. How many times have we turned our back, forcing God to create another way to help us? Thank God, we mean this literally, thank God one of Naaman's servants cares enough for him to give him the push toward the River Jordan that he so desperately needs. It's interesting, isn't it? Naaman's journey is taken partly because he cannot connect with people due to his leprosy. But there comes his servant calling Naaman, my father. My father, he says. Think again. Maybe Naaman has relationships in his life that he doesn't even recognize or know. It's clear to me that his servant loves him. When we last see Naaman, then for now, he is waist deep in the River Jordan, arms stretched out before him, water from dip number 7 streaming from hands covered in perfect, healthy, unmarked skin. Naaman, it seems, your years as a wanderer are over. And maybe there's some wandering you need to be done with today as well. 2 Kings 5 is in today's lectionary. Because we, beloved of the Lord, we priesthood of believers, need a refresher course, need a new infusion of the power of God's saving activity in our lives. God saves and sets free. It is as simple and as profound as that. In the text we just considered, God uses God's prophet Elijah to save a man who is not even a member of the nation Israel. The person saved in 2 Kings 5 is Israel's conqueror. He considers himself Israel's superior. He even questions why he should wash in the River Jordan when he could go home and wash in the far lovelier streams in Damascus. Yet God works through Elisha to save Naaman. God moves inclusively in this passage. There are names on God's list we wouldn't put on God's list. But God saves us anyway. We witness the inclusive power of God saving the wanderer and bringing him home. Then the lectionary turns us right around without sitting us down and dumps us straight onto the road to Jerusalem, standing with Jesus. Just prior to this, Jesus has sent out 3 disciples to move among the people, to help the people, to ready the people for the good news that is coming. It goes very badly. It's a crash and burn. Yet Jesus' reaction to this is to turn himself right around and send out 24 times the people he sent out before. 72 people to spread out over the area bringing good news. And whether the people receive them poorly or receive them well, go tell everybody the kingdom of God is upon you. The days of salvation are come. We can hear the urgency and the excitement in Jesus' voice. Just go. Don't worry about what you need to pack. Don't worry about where you're going to land. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Go find the wanderers and bring them home to me. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger. interpose his precious blood. 2 Kings 5 is in today's lectionary to remind us that God works through his prophet Elijah to save one. Luke 10 is in today's lectionary to remind us that God works through the Son, Jesus, to save everyone. Just a quick sidebar, beloved. God works through us, too. God works through us, too. That little chance encounter you had with somebody, the little word that you spoke on someone, that little smile that you gave to somebody, God works through us, too. And God delights in doing so. Maybe, oh maybe, there's some wandering you need to be done with today as well. Maybe you are wandering this morning around the edges of where things are going on. Maybe you're wandering around in your own life. You could be a person of long-standing faith who has allowed in too many distractions, who has given away too many of your good habits, who has run from silence because you fear you've lost your ability to hear the still small voice of God in your life. Well, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, yes.
Just as you find the thing that you've lost in the last place you look, sometimes you find the thing you need most is the last thing you think will help. Stop wandering. And maybe today you're a person of new faith who needs a place to build it. Perhaps you have found the right place this morning. We know that you are here with us at the right time. All of those verses of scripture and hymn and the word for today turns out to be very simple. Wanderers, come home.
Yeah.
Come home.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is in your midst. Relax and find peace in the goodness of this truth. If you're wandering, come in. If you are in, be alert. You will cross paths with some wanderers. Let Jesus work through you and bring them home. The old folks of the church sure knew their business, and they knew ours as well. As cloud of witnesses wise, they know our business too. So we'll let them have the last word. Verse 3, come thou fount. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take it, seal it. Seal it for thy thrones above. Amen, First Grace.
Amen.
And amen.